Okay, we'll start. We're planning, right? We're on a 10-year journey through an important classic of Buddhism. I think it's the best book ever written. And I love books. Books are everything for me. And it's a book which gives step-by-step instructions on how to become enlightened. But I think that's like on a macrocosmic level. On a microcosmic level, our own lives, right? This text lists, it's called Lam Rim, which means a series of steps on the path. Rim means steps and Lam means path. And on a microcosmic level of your own life, each of our lives, you can relate those steps to achieving anything you want in this life. I think we travel the world constantly. We hear the issues of thousands of people every year. We talk to them personally in every country you can imagine. Basically, people's needs boil down to two things. Some people have a problem in their life, an issue that they're trying to get through. And then some people have a goal in their life, something they want to achieve. Some people have both. But either you're having maybe a personal problem right now, or you have something in your life that you want to achieve. It could be at work, it could be financially, it could be with your health, it could be with your marriage or your relationship. It could be many things, okay? You can take these steps to the path and you can kadampa. So we talked about an idea called kadampa. Kadampa means if it's a really good spiritual book, you can open it up anywhere and read a sentence and suddenly you will find an application to your personal problem or your personal goal at that moment, right? So we could consider this whole 10-year teaching to be learning a methodology that you can apply every day of your life to the problems of your life and to the things you would like your life to be. Okay? Then we chose something that was sort of thematic to where we are in the text, and we decided in these 10 days of teaching, and then the retreat to follow. So this is the first half. Then there's a 10-day retreat, which will happen in January. then we felt that we would, what was appropriate in the text at this time as a theme was finding passion in your life, excitement in your life, you know, going back to the intensity of life and emotions and perceptions of color and sounds and music and the touch of people, right? When you were 17 or 16, right? Could you go back to the excitement or the depth or the passion that you had or the beauty you saw in the world when you were just starting your journey in life, you know, and you had such great hopes and such great dreams and such wonderful experiences. Because the body and the mind, the karmic seeds for body and mind in many people peak around the age of 16, 17, from your past life, okay? Then if you're not working on new seeds or you don't know how to work on new seeds, it starts to go down from there, you know? You have your first death in your family, and then you have your first breakup with a serious partner, and then you have your first serious health problem, and maybe your country gets into a war or something, and you begin to... Life begins to wear you down. The seeds from your past life begin to wear out, and which causes all those things I mentioned, okay? So what we thought we would do in this series of teachings, these 10 days and the 10 days in retreat, is answer the question, how would you plant new seeds to go back to the level of intensity? What did we call it this morning? Tantalizing. Yeah, I like that word. Life is tantalizing when you're in like a sophomore in high school or junior in high school. You know, like, I don't know, you have your crises. We said it was mostly pimples. But you have a sort of, there's a beauty of life at that age, okay? And that's because the karmic seeds from your past life have peaked out. And then they start to wear out from there. So could you, at age 30, 40, or 50 or more, could you learn to plant a new supply of seeds that would bring you that intensity of life within 6 months or so back at the age of 30 or 40 or 50, okay? Is it in this tradition, spiritual tradition, it's quite possible. You just need to know how. And then you just do it. And it changes. Your life changes. And then, almost unnoticed, you go back to the intensity you had when you were quite young, and you have the kind of energy that you had. Okay, so the goal of this series of teachings is to recover that energy, to replant the seeds consciously, because the seeds that sprouted when you were 16, you didn't know about them. You just enjoyed them. They were planted by Joe. Do you know who Joe is? I have a beautiful friend named Salim in Australia, in Perth. And one day I was praising him. I said, "You're so calm, you know, and you're so intelligent." And he's an architect, and he's a Buddhist teacher, and he's he builds compassionate nursing homes where the grandkids get all involved in running the nursing home, and it's beautiful. I said, "You know, you're so amazing." He said, "Geshe, it's not me, it's Joe." You know, I thought he was talking maybe about some teacher he had in his life. I said, you know, and I sort of course I started to get jealous of Joe. Then I'm like, "Who is this Joe?" You know, and I have to explain to him that he doesn't know as much as me. And then he said, "No, Joe is my past life, Geshe. I was Joe in my past life, so I can't take credit for anything. You know, I'm just riding on his seeds." You know, and that's what happens when you're 16 or 17. You have these beautiful experiences. You don't know why. Seeds are ripening from your past life. And then they wear out, and you don't know why they wear out either. And you start to encounter life's pains and tribulations, right? And life starts to wear you down. So what we propose in this series of teachings is that if we were well trained, we could reverse the process. We could plant seeds, this time consciously and purposely, that would bring our excitement back in our career or back into our relationships. And then nothing that you're doing now that doesn't excite you is unexcitable. Everything can be changed. You can change the seeds for everything in your life now, and it can all become tantalizing, okay? So we went through the beginnings of the process of the formal training on how to plant seeds like that. And we've talked about, we're now talking about four qualities of those instructions. The instructions that you need to bring back the passion in your life have four great qualities, okay? The instructions, there are three sets of four here, okay? There are four steps you need to do to plant those seeds. We are covering that in the morning at 9:30 in the meditation classes. And in those classes, we are covering the four ways to plant a seed by going through four different meditations that you can use to plant those seeds, okay? So come at 9:30. You can work on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We'll be continuing through the four meditations that you can do, okay? To learn in meditation how to plant a seed in four steps that will bring back the passion to your life, okay, and your relationship. Okay, then in this class, in the evening class, at this point, we are covering four qualities of those instructions. We are talking about four qualities of those instructions so that you can appreciate how authentic they are and why they work, okay? So it's a sales job. We're talking about four qualities that the four instructions that you get in the morning have that make them worthy of your attention and your belief, okay? I mean, what's really sad is that the instructions are available, you know? They haven't been available, right? In America or in North America or South America. They haven't been available. And then, I don't know, they got here 10, 20 years ago because of Tibet was lost, right? So all these teachings were forced out of Tibet down into India and then they started to spread, right? So they weren't available before. Now they're available. Now you can get them if you know where to look, right? But then there's this thing like some people don't try them, okay? Like it's for me, suppose all this stuff that I'm talking about works, okay? I'm not asking you to believe it, but just suppose, okay? In Tibetan logic, they call it, do you know Ningbo? Suppose it all works. Tapa tasung girigpa. Say tapa tasung girigpa. It's a very strange logic and debate word. It means suppose that it were true. Okay, suppose these. It means take a hypothetical case. Suppose it works. Suppose what I'm describing works. Suppose anybody in this room, if they came to the morning meditations, and if they listened carefully in the class, could within 6 weeks or 8 weeks have all the passion they had when they were 16. And life could be as tantalizing as it was. Suppose it's true. I'm just saying tapatasangirupa. Suppose. I'm not saying it's true. Suppose it's true. And suppose you know it's true, and suppose you go around the world teaching that. Then how does it feel when you see somebody who doesn't try it? You see? How does it feel when you see someone who doesn't try it? And they're headed for another 30 years of a dry relationship. Or they're headed for another 30 years in a company that they don't really like, you see? And you see them walk out the door and you know that's the way it's going to be. How it like breaks your heart, okay? It's like heartbreaking. So try, okay? Listen. And kadampa, right? Apply it to your life. Try it. If you don't, it just, for me, it just makes me really sad. I sit at home sometimes and I feel really sad. You know, people could have this thing and they didn't try it, right? And then I meet them 2 years later and they still look dry and tired of life. And I feel like somehow I failed, or I didn't, maybe I should have done a striptease or something to get their attention. You know, maybe I should have done something more to get their attention. You know, I'm like, I go home and I think, what should I, maybe I should have stood on my head and taught her. I don't know, you know. So anyway, try it, okay? Then this text at this point in our flow through the text is describing four reasons why it might work. The first reason was Denpa Tamje Gyalme De Dopa, right? Denpa Tamje Gyalme De Dopa, which means once you study the methods of planting the seeds to renew the excitement in your life, and someone explains them to you carefully, you come to a realization that it's all perfectly consistent. Okay? Like people, even people who don't like me, or people who don't like these teachings, they still come up to me and say, it's consistent. You know, everything you say fits everything else you say. I don't believe your whole system, but you are consistent. Okay? And it is. Okay? It's all consistent. Right? What's consistent? We say, you know the old example, right? Where's that? Anybody got a pen? I mean, not the pen you're writing with. I don't want to be responsible for the lineage being broken because you didn't write your notes. Okay. I'll go through the whole system in 5 minutes, okay? 25 years reduced to 5 minutes. It's kind of nice. So what's this thing? It's a pen. If a dog comes in here, they'll see it as a chew toy. Who's, by the way, once you've heard it 3,000 times, just learn how to teach it. Observe how to teach it, right? Observe how it flows. Because you can do it in not such a good flow and it's not as convincing, okay? Who's right, the dog or the person? Both are right, okay? Now, if I put the thing here and all the dogs leave the room and all the humans leave the room. By the way, if you're teaching this, it's important to ask a question now, okay? It's important to say, which one is it? Don't say, what is it, or like that. Keep them on this dichotomy, you know, like, okay, which one is it when the dogs and the humans leave the room? Is it something to chew or is it a pen? Then everybody in the audience, you know, even if you're in, like, I don't know, Malaysia for the first time, and you never met a Malaysian in your whole life, and there's a big group of them, and you ask that question, everybody goes like this. Like, I don't know the Malaysian word for nothing, but they say it, you know. And everybody gets it, okay? So at that time, it's nothing. The Buddhist idea of emptiness is nothing more than that, okay? Forget everything you ever heard. It's not some kind of black hole or illusory thing or nothing matters or watch your thoughts as they flow off into space or anything like that. It just means by itself, this object is like a white movie screen, okay? Until someone comes in the room. If a human comes in the room, it returns to being a pen. If a dog comes in, it returns to being a... So then the next question you ask people is it... I'm not going to ask you because you're all experienced, but I ask them to raise their hand just to make sure they're awake. And then I say, show me with your hand, is it coming... Is the pen, if you see a pen, is it coming from you or is it coming from the pen? Okay, I just ask them to go, is it coming from you or is it coming from the pen? And then like 30% of people sit there like, you know, and I go, and they go, you know, and I'm like, no, which one? You know, and they go, you know, I don't know how to do that better, but... Then most people will say, oh, it's coming from me. I understand it's flowing from me. I understand it must be coming from me. If the dog sees something different, the pen cannot be coming from the pen. Because if the pen were coming from the pen, the dog would see a pen. Okay, that's a no-brainer. Okay. Then you go into this thing. The reason you see a pen is not because you can close your eyes and you wish it was a pen, because that doesn't work. Nobody in the world ever had a problem that they didn't wish wasn't there. It's coming from your mind, but it's not just what you want. Okay? There's a difference between it's coming from your mind and it's whatever you want it to be. Okay? I'm not selling positive thinking. Okay? Positive thinking doesn't work when you have a really bad thing going on, as you know. Maybe it will improve it slightly, but why bother? Why not just stop the bad thing? Then you don't have to positive think about it. Okay? Really? I mean, that's my thing. Okay, so anyway, then you say, okay, it's not coming from your imagination. It's coming from seeds in your mind. And how do you plant the seeds in your mind? Oh, well, like if you want a seed for a pen in your mind, you can only plant a seed with another person. Okay? You need a field in which to plant your seed. The field for planting mental seeds must be another living being. Normally a person, doesn't have to be, but then if you want to plant a pen seed, you must offer a pen to someone else who needs a pen. Then when you put it in their hand and you release your grip on the object, that plants a seed in your mind, because you are witnessing your act. Okay? You are aware of your act, and that plants a seed in your subconscious. You are watching your own hand through the lens, through the glass of your eyes. Okay? Your mind records the event, and that plants a seed. Okay? I haven't ever, in talking to thousands of people, even this year, talking to thousands of people, I haven't had a single person tell me that was not acceptable to them. Thousands of people, I haven't had anyone object ever to this in any country, South America, North America, Europe, Eastern Europe, Asia, nobody, okay? Not one person. And then I say, they feel comfortable with that, you know? And then I say, so if you want money, then just plant a seed for money. How would you plant a seed for money? And they say, well, I would have to give money. I say, okay. If you wanted a better relationship, what would you have to do? Help lonely people. If you wanted to solve a health problem, help someone who's sick, okay? Nobody has any problem with that, because the whole presentation is internally consistent, okay? That's what I want you to appreciate, okay? I just summarized the whole long room, okay? And it's airtight. There's no contradiction in anything I've said. Anybody in the world, Buddhist or non-Buddhist, Muslim, we taught a lot of Muslims this year in Indonesia and in Canada, and they didn't have any problem with that. We taught a lot of communists. They're like, that sounds good to me, you know. And we taught French Catholics, and we taught, you know, it doesn't matter. Everybody, we're in Israel a lot. People there, they don't have a problem with it. Nobody has a problem with it, okay? Because it's internally consistent, okay? That's the first high quality of this teaching. It's beauty. It's a beautiful system, because it all makes sense. When we say internally consistent, really what we're saying is it makes sense. You can say, I don't want to try it, or I'm lazy, or I don't want to be happy. That's your business. I don't want money. I don't want a relationship. I want to continue to be bored in my job for the rest of my natural life. You know, I like being in a relationship which is dry and worn out. Okay, that's your right. Right? But the system is consistent, okay? Second, okay, step number two. Kadampa Sharwa, right? Kadampa Sharwa. Once you learn the system, then every part of the system is immediately applicable to your immediate life. Okay? If you have a good heart, okay? If you are helping others, if you are kind to others, if you take care of others, and then someone teaches you any small part of this system, it will strike you as something reasonable and beautiful, okay? And then we said that quality, number two, right? Kadamba Sharma, it might actually expand in your life to where whatever your mother says on any given day strikes you as profound spiritual advice, okay? Why? Why? Take a pen with you when you teach. Teach them the pen thing first. And then anytime the audience is kind of like confused, you can just hold up the pen. You know? Why is it that that at a certain advanced point in your spiritual journey, anything your mother says might strike you as advice from a divine being? Because it's coming from you. Okay? And if you've been good, then you will hear beautiful things, not just in a Buddhist book, but on the street and in the supermarket and on the radio, in the songs that you hear. And, you know, you will get messages constantly throughout your life. By the way, and that's the first step of Tantra, okay? You want to know what Tantra is? It's just that. It's nothing more than that. Song comes on the radio, you've been planting good seeds, and suddenly it's Chakrasambhara talking to you, okay? And it's real. It's for real, okay? And you keep bumping into angels, okay? So that, I mean, I just blew the whole secrecy thing, okay? Don't tell anybody. No, you see, it's not like you get an empowerment and you suddenly get this stuff. You're so good that you're so nice to other people that there comes a point in your life when everything you meet is beautiful, okay? That's all. And then you slide into a tantric paradise, you know, just like that. I don't think you need somebody to bang you on the head and pour water in your nose, or, you know, you can slide into. There's people you can bang on the head with a vajra and pour holy water on them, and they still won't get it for 16 lifetimes, you know. And then there's other people who just try to do those things: be kind to others, plant good seeds. And then they slide into a tantric practice, sort of unnoticed, okay? And then everyone around them is saying everybody around them is like some beautiful, exquisite being. And they're in tantra. And then the other people are not. Got it? Okay. Maybe that's the secret part, that those people who get empowerments don't get it, and those who don't do get it? I don't know. Okay. Anyway, so that was the second quality. First quality, this explanation about the pen is completely consistent. Nobody in the world has, nobody has ever objected to it that I can recall out of thousands and thousands of people. If you present it skillfully and clearly, and if you understand it clearly, and you simplify it to human terms, there's no human being in the world who's going to have a big problem with it, okay? Secondly, if your heart is pure, you will find these advices everywhere. You will hear it everywhere. That's Kadampa Sharma. Okay, we are now to the third quality, okay? Which means Gyalwe Gomba Delaktu Nyepa. Say Gyalwe Gomba Delaktu Nyepa. It means if you receive this training, right? If you receive this training, if you receive a good explanation of the pen, you can open any one of 200,000 Buddhist books on this planet, okay? And you will understand immediately what they're talking about, okay? You can crack the secrets of the enlightened ones. Delak. Delak means, what's Delam? Path of bliss, okay? But De can also mean easy. Easy as pie, they say, right? As a piece of cake, sorry. Do we say easy as pie? Okay, I don't know, my mind's on pies and cakes. As usual. anyway, piece of cake, okay? So if you get this training properly, which you just did and it took 5 minutes, right? Really, it doesn't take more than that. Somebody asked me to come to their city and could I teach something more complicated? And I'm like, wow, I don't know, I guess I could, but why? You know? So anyway, step number three is once you have this foundation of the panting, you can grasp any Buddhist teaching. You can understand the highest ideas of all the enlightened beings easily. De lacto. Okay? So here we go. Sumba gyawe gomba de lacto nyepe chewani. Okay? So he repeated those words. The third quality of these instructions is that you will easily, once you have the framework, which I just gave you, which was a short long rim. Maybe I beat Tsongkhapa. He did 14 verses. I just did the pen. Sorry. Once you get the structure, okay, then any deep idea you read about or someone teaches you, you will grasp it easily. Okay? Why? Because you can always, anytime a student stumps you on something, you can just say, close your eyes and look wise and go, and say, it's all in the seeds. Okay? Because you'll be right. Okay. Gyalwe ka dang gondel nam ngar shupa shin dam nga ki cho yinbe. The highest form of teachings in this planet are those of enlightened beings. It doesn't have to be what we call Buddhism, okay? It could be called what we call Christianity. It doesn't matter, right? Anything an enlightened being has taught. Dedaki jujar gyalwe gomba tartuk shukyang name menga chanju langirimba ditabu la tembar shungchambo deda na tene gyalwe gomba tartuk nyepe. Okay, this is beautiful. I want to draw your attention, and maybe Ningbo, you can... Are you blocking things? Can you block Lame Mengok? Okay, Shukyan Lame Mengok in that line. Lame Mengok, is he got it blocked out? Balami, yeah, Baloney. Okay, Lame Mengok. This, he does a tricky thing here that I want you to appreciate because it's on your homework. He says, if you go through this train of thought, if a person guides you, if a teacher guides you through this train of thought, which is pretty much just the pen thing, okay? If someone guides you through that train of thought, right? Because of the Lama's guidance, you will be able to understand any deep teaching you encounter. Okay? Because of your Lama's guiding you through the thought process of the pen, right? You will be able to understand any deep concept that you encounter in hundreds of thousands of Buddhist teachings. Okay? And they are deep, right? Yesterday, I don't know about you, I went home with a smashing headache. You know, like I didn't sleep at all. You know, and we all were grumpy in the car. And we were like, we kind of agreed it was too much. You know, I mean, it was beautiful, but it was a little too much. I mean, maybe we should have had a break, I think. So anyway, if you've done the pen thing, you can sit through a class like that. You can get tired from sitting so long. But you understand everything. You understand the basic point of everything. Which was what? Yesterday it was, what's nirvana? The end of your negative emotions forever. How does understanding emptiness help you reach that? Is understanding emptiness necessary for a person to end their negative emotions? Yes. Why? If your husband says something unkind to you, right? If you understand emptiness, then you're totally sensitized to the fact that what you hear is coming, right? The pen thing, we already covered it. It's coming from you, okay? You were unkind to someone a month ago. You planted a seed for that. And now you hear your husband saying something unkind. Is it possible to be angry at a person who's saying something unkind when you understand that it's only coming from your deeds? It's not possible to be angry at them. Maybe you could be angry at yourself, you know. You could probably be disappointed in yourself. I don't think angry. I mean, nobody yells at themselves, mostly. You could look at yourself in the mirror and say, why did you mess up, you know. But you couldn't be angry, you see. So that's how understanding your husband could get you to nirvana, all right? You wouldn't be angry anymore. You couldn't be angry. The more you understand seeds, the less capacity you have for a negative emotion. And eventually that pushes you into what we call nirvana, which is the end of your negative emotions forever. Okay? It's not like they can come back, okay? That's different from anger management, okay? There are anger management techniques, you know. Understand that anger is bad for your stomach and your heart, you know, or understand that anger is not productive, or understand that anger hurts your children, or something like that. They won't stop your anger. They can block it for a while. They can suppress it. But they don't tear out the root of the anger. The root of the anger comes from misunderstanding why your husband is saying those things. Got it? If you understood why they're saying those things, you couldn't be angry with them. And then that's different than anger management, right? That's the end of all anger. It's the impossibility to be angry, okay? So if you get those instructions from your lama, okay, he's doing a clever thing here. He did a clever thing. He said, Lame Mengak. He didn't say Chanju Lamgi Rinpa, which is the next words up there. Are they? Byang Chub Lamgi Rinpa. Okay. He didn't say the teachings on the steps of the path will allow you to crack any deep idea you ever come across. Got it? He didn't say that. He said, the teachings on the steps of the path granted by your heart teacher will allow you to crack any idea you come across. Okay, got it? It's very interesting. By the way, I'm not just talking spiritual ideas. If you understood seeds well, then when the gentleman gave the beautiful presentation today from the solar company, right? It, to me, it was like candy. It was beautiful. It was so beautiful. Like it was fast. It was succinct. It was comprehensive. It was well thought out. You know, it was very I learned a lot. And he packed the whole hour. He used the whole hour. And then he took questions and did a beautiful job with the questions. And, you know, that if you understand seeds, then even just sitting in on a business discussion of solar energy, you just get it. You get everything. Because you understand the seeds as they were presented to you by your heart teacher. Why did he throw in that last line? Because that's what really makes it happen. Okay, that's what plants the real seeds. Okay, you can read a book on the steps of the path, right? You can go to Amazon and buy a couple of books on the steps, Lam Rim. You can get them, you can buy them, you can read them. It's not going to work. Okay? It's not the information. It's how the information is given to you as a blessing from your teacher. Okay, so it's really it's not the list of information that makes it happen, that allows you to crack the deep thought in any scripture. It's your lama's blessing. It's your heart teacher's blessing. Okay? It's beautiful. It's beautiful that he snuck that in. It's so wise. You know? Who snuck that in? You snuck that in. You made the pen and you made that last line. Congratulations. You're very good, you know, you're very wise. Gawe Gomba Tatu Nyepar Minula. Tartuk means, we're going to have Tartuk the next time we get together about meditation. What is Tartuk? She is Sampa Jorba Tartuk, right? Yeah, the end or the conclusion of a full karmic deed, right? A full karma, not just a karma, a full karma, needs four steps. The last one is called Tartuk, but here you see the word used in its as a vocabulary word, okay? It's nice. It's very convenient. It's almost as if it were planned that Tartuk has come just before you learn Tartuk. Tartuk is the fourth meditation you're going to learn. We got to the third one today, right? Tartuk is the fourth. Here it is in the book. Do you have it blocked out? Yeah, okay. So Tartuk means unless you are granted the training on the seeds through your Lama's kindness, through your heart teacher's kindness, you will never understand the Tartuk idea of the Buddhas, okay? Which means the final or the ultimate, right? You won't be able to crack the highest ideas of the spiritual path, okay? Without your heart teacher's blessing, okay? By the way, the minute I talk about heart teacher, I feel two reactions in the room. I have this instinct where I kind of feel reactions in a room. One is the people who have heart teachers are smiling in their heart. And then people who don't have heart teachers are sort of feeling left out. Or, you know, like, how do I get one of those? You know? And then I just told you how to answer any question, which is, yeah, plant the seeds, okay? What would be the seeds to find a heart teacher? Well, a heart teacher is someone who will take care of you unconditionally for your whole life and beyond, right? So maybe we have to give care to somebody else unconditionally. I had a spiritual breakthrough this morning. We did a Tonglen meditation, right? I've done thousands of Tonglen meditations, okay? Then today it just struck me that maybe we should meditate on going to Starbucks with the other person rather than, you know, I'm an invisible being and I'm in your bedroom and, you know, I hope you're not undressing. Okay, that's how we usually do Tonglen. But I just occurred to me today, how about we do it, you know, I'm taking the person to Starbucks, we're buying a drink, we're sitting down with our coffees or our hot chocolates, and I'm listening to their problems, and I'm trying to help them. And we did the Tonglen that way this morning, you know. And somewhere about halfway through, I actually started to think of someone that I would like to take to Starbucks to help. And that might be the first time. I mean, that it really came to me, yeah, I could take this person to Starbucks, you know? And then I'm like, duh, you know? How many Tonglens have you done? Now, here's the first one where you actually made a plan, you know? And I imagine that if you fantasized about taking a certain person to Starbucks over and over, that it would probably happen because that's what happens in high school when you fantasize about a date, right? Sooner or later, you ask the person. Okay, so I'm thinking that's a nice Tonglen. You know, sooner or later you will ask the person, right? Okay. Nuna, without doing that, you can't crack the high ideas. Right? Oh, so that's how you find a heart lama, right? You would be there unconditionally for someone because that's what heart lamas are. Okay. All right. And you could plant the seed that way. Okay, if you haven't found one. It's not a question of going to India and getting diarrhea and looking through dusty towns for somebody. You know, I did that. That's not how it works. Okay. When I came home, I found them. Okay. Kelte nye du chukyang du yun rimbo dang katsek shin du chewala tuk. Even if you were able to somehow figure out the higher ideas of a spiritual path without what? Your heart teacher's teaching you the pen. Okay? It's two things really, right? Your heart teacher teaching you the pen. Right? Then Yun Ringbo, it would take a long time. Katsek Shindu Chewa and a lot of hassle. To try to do it off the web or something, Okay? Take you a long time. It's like trying to learn a musical instrument off the web. I'm trying, okay? I bought a pedal steel guitar because there's a song I want to play called Kind Woman. And I already bought the cowboy outfit. No, and I keep wanting to wear it, but I can't learn the song because it's like, you know, and I said, I'll just buy a steel guitar and I'll figure it out, you know. Then it came in the box and I got this little bar thing and I'm like, it just sounds like cats getting killed. And then, I'm like, dang, you know. Then I broke down. I said, I'll YouTube it, you know. If Will Duncan can build his cabin off of YouTube, you know, I can play steel guitar off of YouTube, you know. And then I get to all these YouTube things, and they're going like, and I'm like, yeah, but what are you doing? I mean, show the guy's hands. And it didn't work, okay? You need a person. It looks like you need a person. I'm still working on it. Okay. What he's saying is that it's a lot more work if you try to do it off of YouTube than if you find a qualified teacher, okay, heart teacher. Lamrim de la tene shung chambo dedar le sungbe gyawe gomba katsek mepar. If you learn the pen thing, the steps of the path, then you go to the great classics, right? Like what we covered yesterday, right? Easy. Piece of cake, okay? Piece of cake. Gomba. Katsek mepar means without a big hassle. De laktu means easily. Nyepar gyuro means you will find the deeper ideas and you will grasp them without a big hassle if you have a heart lama who's involved, right? It doesn't have to be like a heart lama who's standing there and reading each word to you in the Sanskrit, right? It's that you have their blessing, right? Maybe you cook a meal for them, right? And you get a blessing by serving them. And then you open up a book and you understand it, okay? It doesn't have to be formal instruction in an Asian language, okay? It's the blessing of whoever you consider your heart teacher. And they don't have to be some lama or something like that, okay? It could be young, old, could be your mother, could be your sister, could be your high school girlfriend, okay? Doesn't matter. If you have that relationship and you serve them, and then you can pick this up and understand it, okay? This is a beautiful... he threw in something, okay? He's kind of cheating. he says, if it's true that you can understand the highest ideas of all the enlightened beings who ever lived simply by your heart lama's blessing, right? Well, what are those ideas? That's sort of what you do in a debate when you're stuck. You change the subject. Okay? So he's supposed to be talking about how easy it is to grasp the highest ideas of the enlightened beings. But then he throws in a question right here. He says, wona. Wona means, wona is what it sounds like. Wona. Well then, what would those ideas be anyway? You know, like now he can say anything. Okay, well, what would be the highest ideas of the enlightened beings? Well, let me tell you about that. Okay, and then he goes off on a tangent. Daki Kyabjo Lama Rinpoche, my own highest of spiritual guides and shelters of ultimate reality, meaning his own precious Rinpoche Lama. His own teacher. He's my teacher, said, my heart teacher, who's a Dakpo Jamba Thundup, okay? Dakpo Jamba Thundup. Kebu Sumgi Lam Chi Dan Kepar, Lam Ki Tso Nam Sum La Che Gu Sung. The teachings meant for people of three varying capacities, which could be called in short, if you wanted to summarize all of them, you could call it Kepar means most especially Lam Ki Tso Nam Sum. Lam Tso Nam Sum. Say Lam Tso Nam Sum. Okay? I'm learning Chinese from a beautiful scholar of Chinese from Shanghai. And we're exchanging wisdoms, you know. I get half an hour wisdom, then Leon gets half an hour wisdom, you know. And we make this deal, you know. So we went through the Whole Heart Sutra. I'm just about done. She's done. She's done with the Tibetan. I'm almost done with the Chinese, right? And then I said, well, what do you want to do next? You know, what do you want to learn after that? And she said, you're the teacher. You're the Tibetan teacher. I can tell you what I'm going to teach you, but you have to tell me what we're going to do in the Tibetan. And I'm like, the highest thing I could think of would be the three principal paths, you know? ACI course number one. Because it's course number one, everybody thinks it's too dumb. You know, teach me course 13 or 15. Don't say you're going to make me memorize course number one. But that's why it is course number one, okay? Lam so nam sum, the three principal paths, okay? The three paths that you need to get enlightened, okay? Three, all of Buddhist wisdom put into 14 verses, you know? So if I had a student who was serious and they were willing to memorize what I asked them to memorize, I would ask them to memorize that. And that's what we're doing, okay? So lam tso nam sum, okay? You can memorize it in English. It's very good, okay? So I think now we'll take a break. And then we'll go... We'll continue. Why did we mention lam tso nam sum? Three principal paths? Right, no. He went off on a tangent, right? He said, if you have your heart lama's blessing, you can understand the highest teachings of Buddhism. Did he mention the Chakrasamvara root tantra? Did he mention the 8,000 verses on the Prajnaparamita? No, he said, my own lama, said those 14 verses were the highest ideas of Buddhism. Okay? And you got it already in Aisai course number one. All right, but we'll go over it a bit more. So we'll take a break. Is there anything I'm supposed to announce? Oh, I have a small presentation, okay? Today is Lama Christie's birthday, November 8th. Excuse me? Sorry? Oh. And then I thought it would be nice to mark the birthday of the director of the retreat at Diamond Mountain, okay? Three-year retreat. And I thought it would be nice to mark the birthday of all the retreatants. So there are 40 retreatants, there are 10 caretakers there. They are off on an amazing spiritual journey of 3-year retreat, which it takes a lot of courage. They have given up their lives, their families, everything they knew, their jobs. They have paid and built their own cabins. And those cabins will become the property of Diamond Mountain. They are giving, each of them has built their cabin. Each of them has paid $50,000 to $150,000, scraped the money up, pay, you know, broke, totally broke credit cards. And they know those cabins are not going to be their property 2 years from now, you know, and that we can use them. Everybody else can use them. So they did this incredibly courageous thing. We got people. Yeah, these are the people in retreat, okay? They built their cabins, and they're pretty close to completing a year. So I thought, since it was Lama Christie's birthday, and since they're coming up on a year in retreat, I thought we could celebrate a little bit, which mainly means me getting a piece of cake. And you too, okay. I thought we might do a maybe 1 or 2 minute meditation and just close our eyes and send prayers for their success and celebrate their achievement, right? And they've done very well. They're all sticking it out. Huge obstacles. A huge forest fire came to their door, burned 500,000 acres, and stopped at their doorstep. And they stayed. They sat there. And I think we should send them our prayers. Okay, you ready? Here we go. Just a couple of moments of silence, okay? There's a very beautiful Hindu guru in Shivananda in the Bahamas, right? Swami Swarupananda. Then he asked me, ideally, how many students would you like to have? I said 365 with different birthdays. Okay. Deng Epari Yinde Yanda Beta. Oh, that's not it. Yeah. Okay. So he's off on a tangent. If you go through the steps of the path, you will be able to understand high ideas, right? And then he says, well, what would be the highest ideas? And he says the three principal paths. The three principal paths are very simple, okay? The first one is you reach a point in your life where just there's so many screw-ups that you decide it's enough, okay? It's like an alcoholic. We're like alcoholics. I have a friend who's an alcoholic. I mentioned him, I think. I need a couple more. And he had to hit bottom before he would change. And he did. He hit bottom and he changed. And I think he's got his like 6-year pin now or something. Okay? So the first of the three principal paths is you have to see enough mess ups in your life that you want to do something different. Okay? And that's why we say disasters are not so bad. For me personally, a lot of my reason to be on this path was that three people in my family died in quick succession when I was young, right? And then that just pushed me, okay? So you have to come to a recognition of the pain of life, okay? Even if everything goes well, which is pretty much impossible, you will get old and die. Everything you've lived for, all the things you've built up, all the family, house, friends, job, career, possessions, experiences, love, you will lose all of them, okay? Unless you do something, you will lose all of them. Everybody does, okay? That's the first principle path. Second principle path is quite easy. Everyone else is in the same boat, okay? Yeah, I mean, and it's sort of bittersweet, right? We're all in it together and we're all going down together. Okay, so we might as well be nice to each other on the way down, okay? So that's number two. I wish I could help all of us. You are also part of number two, right? You're in number two, okay? Then number three is the pen thing, okay? Understand where things are coming from, because then you can do something, right? Then you can do something about it, okay? You're not interested in the pen thing until you want to change enough and until you want to help others, okay? So those are the three principal paths. And it's nothing more complicated than that. I'm afraid once you write scriptures, then everything gets complicated, right? I don't know. So here we go. Deng epa yin te yanda pe tawa la gyawe gomba thatu tu jatsung kapa chamba sawa sung deng. Then he sort of understood that he asked a question in here of, well, among the three principal paths, which one is tartuk? Which one is the ultimate idea? If I had to pick one of the three, if I was on a desert island, I could only have one of the three principal paths. Which one would you want? You know, and it's obviously number three, which is the pen thing, okay? It is a trick question, but all questions aren't trick questions. It's number three, right? The pen thing, okay? Because if you understand the pen, you can change anything. And if you don't, you can't change anything. Okay, got it? So Jetson Kapa said, if the benefit of having your sweetheart teacher teach you these things is that you crack the ultimate intent of the highest beings of the universe, well, what would that intent be? What would those thoughts be? What are the highest thoughts of an enlightened being? And it's just the pen thing, Okay, it's just a yang. Say yang dakpe, dawa. Yang dakpe, dawa. Which means like a pure view, a correct view, accurate viewpoint of the world. I like to call it world view. Okay, I like to call it world view, a new view of the world. Everything is coming from me, and I can change anything. I can change Iraq. I can change Afghanistan. You know, I can change anything. Because it's all coming from me. It all flows from me. Okay. Then he quotes the three principal paths. Lam tso le, okay, lam tso le. Nama tenda luwa meba dan tomba ke len tewe koa ni. Jesus soso nama desu du dadu tube gomba toba me. Very famous, okay. These are the lines in the three principal paths which teach the idea of the pen. Okay, ready? Here we go. Nama tendal luwa mepa dam. Tendal means dependent origination, right? There's a code word for dependent origination, which is everything around you, all the stuff around you. In Tibetan, it's called nama. Nama means like the appearance of things around you, okay? It means the seeds ripening in your mind and creating a pot, like we talked about. When was that? Yesterday, okay. Yesterday we spoke about how karmic seeds ripen in your mind. A seed cracks open in your mind. A small image comes out of that seed, and it is thrown by the mind outside, and you see things. Okay. Bella's singing right now is coming from you. Okay. Your mind is throwing those sounds over there. Okay. That's called nangwa. What you see around you. Tendel means dependent origination. It's a big word. I hate it. Dependent origination. 8 syllables. Oh, my God. You know? It's like supercalidociousness. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of bad. It just means things are coming from seeds. Okay? Somebody says dependent origination. If you think things are coming from seeds, you got it down. Okay? And it's a really almost like a bad karma that it's such a clumsy word, right? And that it turns off so many people and they misunderstand it. It should be just things are coming from your seeds. Okay, that's all. That's all it means, and it doesn't mean anything more than that. Okay, so that he, in his three principal paths, in the part where he gets to emptiness, he says, consider all the things around you. Okay, lua mepa. Okay, lua mepa means it works, no problem. Lua here means problem. Usually lua means to deceive you. But lua mepa here means it all works. Okay? No problem. Okay? Is Gunner empty? Yes. Can he still kiss Rebecca whenever? I don't know when it is or where. I'm assuming, okay, maybe it's too much, but anyway, does he function? Yes. Okay. Is he coming from her mind? Yes. Is there any problem there? No, it's still saliva. You know, it's still, you know, am I embarrassing you guys? Yeah. It's kind of cute to see him blush. Okay. Anyway, is he coming from her mind? Yes. Can she still kiss him? Yes. No problem. Lua mepa means there's no problem there. Okay. If he wasn't coming from her mind, he'd be hard to kiss. You gotta chew on that. Okay. All right. Tomba kelen tewa goanyi. Tomba kelen tewa means emptiness, which is beyond all. Kelen means a position that you could take philosophically. Okay. He says, you could say inexpressible. Emptiness, which is beyond all expression or conversation. Emptiness which could never be expressed in a conversation. Is it true that you can't talk about emptiness and understand it? It's not true. Why do they call it beyond any position or beyond any description or anything like that? The actual direct experience, as a realized being has experienced it, cannot be exactly described to another person, okay? You can't describe the direct perception of emptiness with words in such a way that the person listening to you will have that experience right then and there. Okay, it's not possible. Okay, all right, and that's all it means. It's not indescribable because all these books were written to describe it. Okay, obviously. All right. Okay. I mean, that's pretty dumb. Okay. Tombakelen Tewe Koanyi. But these two under Koanyi means these two understandings. What two understandings? Gunnar's coming from Rebecca, and yet he's still empty. Okay. He's empty means the way she sees him is coming from her and not from anything else. That's what emptiness means, right? The pen on the seat and we all left the room, right? So is there any disconnect between those two ideas? He's not Gunnar from his own side. A, that's emptiness. B, what she sees is coming from her. Is there any contradiction or problem between those two ideas? No. If you understand what emptiness is clearly, and if you understand what dependent origination is clearly, then they not only not disconnect, they are in total harmony, right? Her image that's popping out of her karmic seeds according to how she's treated probably her boyfriends when she was in grade school or something is popping out of her mind and responsible for how she sees Gunnar, okay? Those images have to have a place to land, and that's emptiness, okay? The images in her mind are like a movie, and they need a white screen to be projected on. If Gunnar was already the way Gunnar is from his side, there wouldn't be any room for her impressions of him to go, okay? He has to be a blank white screen. I don't like the word emptiness. Sometimes I think they should say blank. But if I call Gunnar blank, he might punch me later. So, okay? All right? He has to be available, empty. And then she can have an idea pop in her mind because of her old karmic seeds. And she will see him in a certain way. So those two concepts are perfectly compatible, right? In fact, one requires the other, really. You can't have a perception of Gunnar unless he's available. And he can't be available. There's no reason for him to be available if there were no perception to lay on him. Got it? So Jetsun Kapa's, his big breakthrough in the understanding of emptiness was to say, the idea that the pen is nothing when it's sitting here and there's no people or dogs in the room. Okay, got it? The idea that the pen is nothing when there's no dogs or humans in the world, in the room, right? And the idea that when you see a pen, it's coming from your seeds. Those two are completely compatible. No problem. Dependent origination and emptiness. To put it into those clumsy, what do you call? Clunky Buddhist expressions. They're not incompatible. They're friendly. There are two sides of the same coin. Okay. But if you think there's any disconnect between them, okay? Oh, if Gunnar's coming from me, he can't function or something like that. Okay? If my impression of my partner is coming from me, then how can I kiss it? Right? Got it? If you have that problem, if you think that's the problem, dadun tupe gomba tokpa me, you didn't get the big idea of the Buddhas. Okay? You didn't get the big idea of the Buddhas. Why is that a good quotation for us in discussing the third beautiful quality of the steps to the path? Because the third beautiful quality of the steps of the path is that if you study it well, you can easily grasp the highest ideas of the enlightened beings. And he, Jetsun Kapa, he quoted Jetsun Kapa saying, and that's, you didn't get the highest idea if you think seeds and emptiness are in any way incompatible. Okay, got it? So in a negative way, he's saying, here's the highest idea of the Buddhas, which is what? Gunnar's coming from her, but that's why she can have a relationship with him. Okay? If you think there's some problem with that statement, then you didn't get it yet. Which means you didn't have enough blessings from your heart teacher explaining the pen to you. Got it? Okay? That cool? All right. Okay, here we go. Okay, so here Jetsun Kapa has directly said, if you don't understand the view of emptiness and seeds, then you didn't get the Buddha's big idea. Okay, you haven't yet got the Buddha's big idea. Shukla de tona galwe gomba nyepar sungba dang. When Jetsun Kapa says, if you don't get that gunner coming from Rebecca's mind is completely consistent with someone to kiss. Got it? If you don't get it, you didn't get the Buddha's idea, right? You don't understand what the Buddha wanted you to understand. Shukla means that implies that if you did understand that, you would get the Buddha's highest thought. Got it? By saying you haven't got it if you haven't, then he's saying you would have if you did, or something like that. Okay. Now he's going to quote it again. Okay. He's throwing in the other two principal paths, okay, after that. He wants to get them all in. Probably get in trouble with somebody in the audience if he said there was only one principal path. Okay. Galway Sundrab Kunginyungbadun, the essence of everything the Buddha ever spoke about, is a code word in this tradition for understanding that life, there's a problem with life. Renunciation. Okay? The essence of all the Buddha's speech is a code word for Lord Buddha describing at the beginning of his career the four truths, right? Everything is suffering. Okay, got it? What do you call it? Ku ji mie dao, right? I like the Chinese. It's very short. Ku ji mie dao. Okay. Gyal sen dampa nam ki ngak be lam. Then he says, and there's that other line in the Three Principal Paths that talks about the path which has been praised by all the Buddhas, the high bodhisattvas. Okay? What's the path? That's a code word for, there's only one principal path left, let's guess. Bodhicitta, okay? The vision that, if we, you know, I'll say it again, I probably said it three times, but I don't mind. People tell me I repeat stories to them. I'm sorry, I just forget who I told them to. So we're in Guangzhou, southern China. We just finished like 5 days of presentations to a very tough business crowd about these ideas. And then I said, okay, so where does money come from? And they say, by giving money to others, right? And then I just popped something on them. Suddenly I said, well, what would happen if everybody thought that? What would happen globally if everybody thought that was true? And then I can't describe the feeling that I felt. I felt a wave of feeling go through the room. These are tough factory owners. They are not, you know, New Age Buddhists or something. But this wave went through the room and it was silent for like, I don't know, a minute. And I felt their minds working on that idea. And then I felt a vision come into their head of a world where every single person was taking care of every other person. Okay? These tough guys. I felt that vision come into their head. That's bodhicitta. Okay? They got bodhicitta in that moment. Okay? Don't think it's some kind of weird thing you have to take, what's that stuff, soma, drink a cup of soma and then go into a trance and then you're going to get bodhicitta or something like that. It's not like that. What would happen? You see, it's all flowing from the one great idea. It's all flowing from the one great idea, the pen. Okay? What would happen if everybody understood that you can only get a pen if you give a pen? See, I felt it go through the room right there. Whit! It went to the room, you know. Then half the world would be giving stuff to the other half of the world, right? I mean, people would be lining up to help other people. And everyone would have enough, okay? There would be a miracle, some solar power breakthrough, 17.3% solar efficiency. Now, no, you think it's a mistake or an accident? It's on schedule to replace fossil fuels, okay? If you work on it, if you provide panels to the poor, it will replace fossil fuels in your lifetime, and there will be no more pollution. And there'll be no more oil well drilling and things like that. It's very interesting. No more pipelines going through forests and stuff like that. Okay? It's on schedule. You just have to make it happen. Got it? But that means you have to supply them to the poor, or it's not going to happen. And then you'll have a world war. And it won't be a big war between two countries. It'll be massive social unrest as people can't live. You cannot transport food without oil. You know, you can't preserve food without oil. You can't package food without oil. You know, you can't fix a road without oil. You know, forget the cars. You can't eat without oil. So we have to give them. Okay? Got it? All right. There's a part in the Three Principal Paths which talks about the entry point for those lucky ones who think they need liberation. Okay, Kelmben. What would the entry point be? The pen. Okay, understand the pen, everything else is possible. Understand that things are coming from your seeds, all other things are possible. So it's called Jungok. Say Jungok. Jungok. Jungok means the entry point, okay? Jungok means in Tibet, okay? Tibet is the source of the four greatest rivers in the world. What is it? The Mekong, the Ganges, the Yangtze, and I don't remember the other one. The one that goes down to Iran, Afghanistan. What is that? Indus? Euphrates? I don't know. Anyway, it's the source for all four because it's like a high point and they all flow down from there, okay? So you can't cross Tibet without crossing a lot of rivers, okay? And they didn't have bridges. There were no bridges, okay? So basically, if you want to see your grandmother in the next county, you have to walk through like 12 rivers. And we're talking pretty tough rivers, pretty nasty rivers. So you go up and downstream and you look for a jungok, okay? You look for a shallow, wide spot where you and your horse can walk across and not get too wet. Because that's the story of Tibet, you know. Until recently, okay? You would have to walk through the water. So you look for a point where it's easy to enter, and that's called a jungok, okay? What's an easy segue into the enlightened realm is the pen, okay? Kelmden Tarden Namgi Jungok De. Okay, got it? All right, Shesun. Ngenjung Sengge Shala Ngenjung Changsem Kyang Sharla Pangba Yino. Sharla Pangba means Sharla is a very useful word. Sharla means let's say I want to send you to Paradise Cafe to get me a hot chocolate, which could never happen. Okay, so you got to go down to Shea and Tatum, right? I mean, let's suppose I said, I need a hot chocolate. And can you go get me a hot chocolate at Paradise Cafe? And then Sharla means, by the way, could you pick up some flowers at the nursery across the street? You see? Sharla means, by the way. Sharla Pangba means, when you discuss, get this, okay, it's beautiful. When you discuss the pen thing, you are already discussing saving the world. Okay? You can't discuss the pen thing without it already, without in the end talking about saving the world, because if everybody thought that the only way to get a pen was to give away a pen, then everybody would be giving away everything they had to everybody else. And that would save the world. Got it? Okay, Sharla. Okay, so Sharla, once you mention the pen thing, you are already speaking about saving the world. Okay, got it? And that implies renunciation also, because what do you have to save the world from? Okay. All right, here we go. Pangbayin. We got another 15 minutes, so hang in there. I know it's late, and, you know, I don't know. Somebody told me Lama Marut's really beautiful programs in Cape Ann are 6 days long, and I thought, I don't know, maybe he's smarter, because 10 days is really tires people out, maybe, but I don't know. Anyway. Okay, no. Okay. Dena lamen dila tene shun chembo namgi jojo namgi tsoon namsun gyu la ketsu ki ne nam delak tu nyeching. So when we say that by understanding the steps of the path, you will be able to understand the ultimate ideas of the enlightened ones, all we're saying is that you will be able to grasp the three principal paths. Okay, got it? He's wrapping up. Now he's probably going somewhere else, I would guess. Nyepatar katsek lama topa gyula kepana gyalwe gomba delak tu nyepayin. Now, technically, the Tibetan says Gyalwe Gomba Delak Tu Nyepa. Gyalwe Gomba means the deep ideas of the enlightened ones, okay? Delak Tu means easily. And Nyepa means to find, okay? Nyepa means to find. But he goes a step further. He says, you will understand them and you will develop them within yourself. Okay, so it's not just that you gain access to the ideas of the enlightened ones. You steal them. Okay, like you open the vault, you see them. And he doesn't stop there. He says, you open the vault, you see them, and then you make them yours. They flow into you if you understand the pen. Got it? Okay. I'm sorry I keep saying got it. It's just to see if you will nod or give me some indication that you're alive. Okay. Deam bernashung chembo namni gaso. Now he goes off in a very beautiful metaphor, and somebody can keep track of it. I sometimes, you know, you can put this one equals that and this one equals that. He's going to give a metaphor for each component in this discussion. Okay. For example, shung chembo namni gyatsu tabu. The great classics of Buddhism are like the ocean. You have to understand that for Tibetans, the ocean was a great and vast and mysterious thing because they didn't have an ocean. They just heard about the ocean. So to them, the ocean was probably like the Milky Way or something. Okay. Lamso Namsum Galway Gomba De Nangdu Norbu Tabu. The Tibetans had a tradition which said that all jewels in the world came from the bottom of the sea. Emeralds, rubies, diamonds. The most important two gemstones in Tibet, turquoise and coral. Coral, true, right? But they figured, well, then everything must come from the bottom of the sea. Okay, so the three principal paths are like the jewels lying on the bottom of the sea. Okay, the sea is what? All the great classics of Buddhism. The three principal paths are like the jewels lying at the bottom of the sea. Okay. Chanju Langa Rinpa Ni Tru Sing Tabu. These teachings on the steps of the path are like a ship. They're like a boat for going upon the sea. Okay. If you study this presentation, it's a boat and you can cross the sea of the great classics. Okay. By the way, my strategy, my 30-year strategy, okay, was to teach you the classics first. And that's why it's called ACI, Asian Classics. So my strategy was teach you the 18 courses. That's the five great classics of Buddhism, okay? And then we did all the tantras. And then I thought, let's wrap up with the Lam Rim. You see what I mean? Okay, so... You've already been on the ocean, Okay? And the first course had the jewels at the bottom. And now you're getting the boat. Got it? That's an easier way to remember, right? Okay. The lama who teaches you these steps on the path is like the ship captain, the captain of the ship. If you, even if there are jewels at the bottom of the ocean, if you don't have a boat and you try to jump in and swim down and get those jewels, what? Not only will you not get the jewels, car, but furthermore, you could only lose your life. Okay? There's nothing else could happen but that you would lose your life. All right? It's the same here. If you don't have the ship, which is the teachings on the steps of the path, lamrim, shungchenba shukyang, and you try to enter the ocean, which is the great classics, gyalwe gomba nyeka, it will be difficult for you to find the ultimate ideas of the Buddhas. And Depan Kepatabu Lama Latene Chaju Langi Rimbi Chisungne Shugna Shunugatsu Chembo Nangne Gyawe Gombatatu Ki Norbo Delak to Neva On. But if rather you find a sage, a master who is your own personal Lama, and they guide you in the steps on the path, who, by the way, the Lama is the ship captain. If they guide you in the steps of the path, meaning they help you undertake the journey in the boat. What's the boat? Three principal path? Was it? No. Okay. Shungnu gyatso chenpo nang, you will be able to cross or to venture into the ocean of the classics, right? And gyawe gomba tartukni, and the jewels of the ultimate ideas of the enlightened ones, which is what? The pending. Okay? Delaktu nepa. You'll get it. Easily. Ong sung, said my lama. He's finishing the reference to what his lama said was the ultimate ideas of the Buddha. Okay? Sung. Which brings us to shipa. Okay? I like to start a new subject at the end of the class. I think it's good luck. Okay? Buddhism, I'll give you a clue about shamatha. Okay? When you get close to shamatha, you don't wrap things up when they wrap up. You wrap things up when you want to wrap up, meaning you start a new subject at the end. You see, activities in your day are not, their beginning and end is not determined by the activities, but by your state of mind. Chew on it. It has something to do with shamatha. Okay. Shipa nyechu chenpo rangakso dowe chewani. The fourth great quality, the final great quality of these teachings is that you will be able to avoid automatically the great mistake. Okay? The two crucial terms here, automatically and the great mistake. Okay? Deyang larmim chenpo soksu ngoten la chupongi le Gopala sum, deyang chewa dambo sum kala sum kala ngepa manyena galwe kala tekpa tomendang shechu dan dubechu so gopa chechung ki kepa tu dumashik jepe chepongi le tsapoche. Okay. Deyang larim chemo soksu ngoten la chepongi le dip gopala sum. There are lots of bad karmas, right? There are supposed to be 84,000 bad karmas, all right? One of the most serious is to reject or criticize a high teaching, okay? Is to reject out of hand or to criticize a high teaching. Every lama who teaches this subject at this point, we'll pause and say there's a difference between criticizing and critical thinking. Okay? There's a big difference between criticizing and critical thinking. Okay? The Buddha required critical thinking of his disciples, right? What did he say? Don't take my words. Don't believe what I say just because I said. You should treat it like a piece of gold. And you know the whole story. Okay? He encouraged his students to think critically about what he said. And he encouraged his disciples not to accept anything he said until they could thrash it out and come to a conclusion that it was correct. But he forbade. He didn't allow his disciples to accept anything he said without tearing it apart. That's why in a monastery you debate for 3 to 6 hours a day. You take your lessons, you take them to the debate ground, and you rip it apart. And you criticize, you think critically. Okay? That's different from saying that's BS. Or that's ridiculous. Or, you know, okay? Don't ever reject a teaching. You can say, it doesn't seem right to me right now. I'll put it on the shelf, okay? I'll shelve that one. I enjoy these classes. I get a lot out of these classes. I find a lot of ideas that I can use in my life. There's a few things I can't buy. Then don't waste your time on those, okay? Don't go around saying, Geshe Michael said if I prostrated wrong in class, I'd be born as a hoofed animal, you know? No, I heard a student complain about that. I didn't, okay? Then don't go around, don't go to Starbucks and meet your friends and say, I went to a teaching the other night and you can't believe what they said about hoofed animals, you know? And then, you know, you're repeating a 30-second problem you had in a 3-hour teaching, right? When all the rest of the teaching was explaining to them how they could get anything to happen in their life that they want. Okay? And you're obsessed with the thing about the hoofed animal thing. Okay? All right. So be careful. Don't waste your time. If there's something you don't buy, nobody on this side of the scripture is asking you to buy it. Okay? Just relax. The hoofed animal thing, Geshe La, I'm going to put on hold for a while. Okay? I'll come back to it in a year or two. Okay? And that's fine with everybody. It's fine with Lord Buddha. It's fine with Pabong Rinpoche. By the way, I thought I would introduce all the lamas. But you know, right? The one closest to Jared's head is Pabong Rinpoche, okay? That's my teacher's... He taught my teacher when my teacher was quite young. He taught my teacher as a teenager. But mainly he was the heart lama of Trijang Rinpoche, who's the next photo over, right? Second from the left. Who was the personal tutor of the current Dalai Lama. Okay, he trained the current Dalai Lama from childhood. And I think he did a good job, right? No, I mean it says something about the teacher when the student comes out like that. You know, in the monastery, there's a beautiful thing. You can debate a guy from another monastery, and you can identify his teacher from how he debates, you see? It's like sword play or something. You can tell from his style who his teacher is. I think he did a pretty good job. So his main teacher was Pabong Rinpoche, who wrote the book You're Studying. Then Pabong Rinpoche trained Trijang Rinpoche, who's the second picture. And then he trained my teacher, who's I think the second from the right, is it? Ken Rinpoche, Geshe Losen Taichen. All right. Who's at the end? Oh, His Holiness. Yeah, you know him. By the way, that was when he came here. I think it was... it's a picture in front of a saguaro cactus at the Botanical Gardens, I think, or something. But I forget what year it was. It was in the 90s. He taught in Tucson. He taught Master Shantideva. It was very beautiful. So anyway... So this fourth quality is to, the fourth thing is that if you learn the steps, it will protect you from rejecting outright any teaching that you hear, which is called the great mistake. Okay, it's a very, very serious karma. So why not just avoid it? You know, if you have a problem with some idea that is presented here, you are encouraged to question it and ask about it and delve deeper into it, or if you so choose, to ignore it and just let it go. But there are so many beautiful ideas which are so useful. Why spend a lot of time on the ones you have a problem with? Okay, the little things. Okay, just move on, and you protect yourself from a very serious bad karma. Okay, okay. We got like one more minute. Let's see. Deyang larim chemo soksu mutem la chupung na na na. Deyang chewa dambo sumla ngepa manina. Now there comes a question, okay? I'll just put a seed in your mind and then we'll talk more on Thursday. By the way, you have tomorrow off completely, okay? There's something going on at the Glendale Center, right? There's like an open house at the Glendale Center. I think it'd be nice, Ningbo, if you could put the address of the... Maybe we do it now, okay? Somebody tell Ningbo the address of the Glendale Center. Can you put that up? And then it's a small house. It's the start of our project to help, hopefully, thousands of people. But we're starting small within our means. And you're welcome to come to an open house tomorrow. What are the hours, Jingmei? 11 to 3. Okay. It's in Glendale. We chose it on the border of a poor area. So it's a cute little, you know, neighborhood, but it's purposely situated at the edge of a major Spanish-American poverty-stricken town. Okay. Okay. So if you understand, I want to talk about the word automatically and then we'll stop. Okay. If you study the teachings on the steps of the path well, it will automatically prevent you from making the great mistake. Okay, so I want to talk about the great mistake. Now you have a feeling for it, which is really to disparage a teaching or to diss a teaching. Okay, like you can disagree with it and you cannot accept it, and you are encouraged to do that. If you accept a teaching which doesn't make sense to you, you will destroy the rest of the teachings because you will mix into them every other crazy teaching you ever hear that doesn't make sense. You see what I mean? Don't follow teachings which don't make sense to you, because once you start on that road, you will follow some guy who tells you it's a spiritual path to kill anyone who doesn't believe in our religion. You know what I mean? Like, if you get in the habit of accepting ideas, spiritual ideas that don't feel comfortable to you or don't make sense to you, then you're really in trouble. If you don't think critically, then you will accept really terrible spiritual advice and you might end up doing a holy war. You see what I mean? Like that. So we beg you not to accept anything that doesn't make sense to you. Because if you get in that habit, it will hurt everybody. Okay? But don't diss it. Okay? Don't diss it. Now about the automatic part, okay? If you understand that a body of ideas is completely consistent internally, okay? If you have a personal experience where every time you hear those teachings, it feels like personal advice to you yourself, okay? And if hearing those teachings suddenly opens your mind and you're able to understand almost any idea that anyone ever presents to you, okay? Then would you reject those teachings? See, if the first three greatnesses became evident to you, it would automatically stop the great mistake. You wouldn't, why would you reject them? You know, why would you diss them? I'm talking diss, okay? You can shelve teachings, but don't diss them. You wouldn't diss them if you if you had those deep experiences of them. So the first three greatnesses automatically prevent you from the great mistake, which is itself the fourth greatness of the Lama Rinpoche teachings. Got it? Stop saying got it, Geshe Michael. We get it. Okay, I'm sorry. All right, any other announcements, Becky? We'll see you at Thursday morning at 9:30 here. Okay. Do you need any help breaking down? Or? Well, do it tonight. How many people do you need? Five people? Gunner's one. I see. Two, three, four, five. Where's number five? Okay, five. Okay. We'll do a final prayer.
Puki Joshime Dodram Re Rabling Shin in the Yambadi Sange Shindu Mede Huagi Dogonanda Shinla Chepasho Idam Guru Radamandala Kamne Yatayami Dike Wokan Sanami Shetotsokshin Sanami Shetotsokshin Dampa Kuni Tobasho.
Okay, thank you. I really appreciate the chance to teach this, and I'm very grateful that you came. Okay, thank you.